Good afternoon. Thank you for coming out on this beautiful day, Oregon spring day. Today's the first full day of spring, I think. Thank you for coming. 2 weeks ago, we studied that. What was our topic 2 weeks ago?
Life ain't fair.
Life ain't fair. That's right. Life isn't fair.
Okay.
Last week, we then learned that to one degree or another, everybody has a grievance story of some sort, okay? Maybe to a lesser or greater degree, but at some time or another, we've all had a grievance story. This week, because you all read chapter 3 in your workbook, you know that the topic is
choice.
Choosing to forgive, okay? Now, the devotional I have today is one that I haven't read. I didn't realize there was one in here called Choosing to Forgive. By the way, there's another couple of really good ones in here. I'm sure there's more than a couple. This one is Choosing to Forgive. So I thought, well, maybe since we're talking about that today, let's have our devotional about it. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who said that? It was Joshua 24:15. Every day and practically every hour of every day, you make choices. And when you say yes to one thing, you are automatically saying no to another. You ever think about it that way? Even not choosing something is to make a choice. So, given that you cannot escape making choices, why not make just the good choices? That's a good statement, isn't it? To illustrate how often we make choices even without realizing it, I want you to do this exercise right now. Stand on top of your chair. No. I want you to clasp your hands together and interlock your fingers. Everybody try that. Clasp your hands together and interlock your fingers. Now look at your hands. Which thumb lies on top?
Right.
Is it your right or your left?
Right.
Who did left?
Me.
Oh, there's several, okay. Did you realize that not everyone clasps hands just like you? At some level, whether you were aware of it or not, You chose which thumb to place on top. Which sock do you put on first in the morning? That's another one. The choice repeated then becomes a habit, right? Now lace your fingers together so that the other thumb rests on top and hold it there for a minute. Feels a little awkward, doesn't it? You read this book already, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Many people clasp their hands exactly like this. It feels awkward because it's not the way we usually do it. It's not our habit. Now, you might be surprised to know that the same principle holds true with forgiveness. You tend to choose whom to forgive or not to forgive based on your previous experience and your interpretation of the wrong that has been done. For example, a person taught that any shading of the truth is a lie will be much more offended when a lie is told than someone who grew up in an environment where it was common to slant the information in order not to hurt feelings. You may not be aware of why you are making these choices to forgive or not forgive, but at some level you are making them. Wouldn't it be better to make these choices consciously? Wouldn't it be best to make healthy, godly choices? By the way, just realizing that you have choices is good for your health. When you have choices available that will improve your circumstances, your stress level lowers and your health improves. A Yale study, Yale University study, demonstrated that when residents of nursing homes received extra choices, they suffered fewer illnesses. These extra choices included what they wanted to eat for meals and what kind of social activities they would have. More choices translated into better health. Consider what author Viktor Frankl observed. We cannot control what exists, but we can control what we think and believe about what exists. In terms of our discussion of forgiveness, you can't control what has happened to you, but you can control the choices you make about forgiving the people involved in those events. The mere recognition that you have choices about whom and when and how you will forgive can improve your life. Then when you choose to forgive, you will put into motion a whole series of events that work together for your ultimate good, for your physical as well as your spiritual health. And just as Joshua chose to serve the Lord in Joshua 24:15, you can choose to follow the ways of the Lord and offer forgiveness to others. Of course, the choice to forgive implies the choice to not forgive. But why would you do that when the person who most benefits from forgiveness is you? That's right. That's really a jewel of a little book, by the way. Let's bow our heads. We do thank you, Father, for the rain and for the group gathering here this afternoon. And we ask that you would teach us to be more like your heart in ours. Help us to extend forgiveness at every opportunity, as you have done for us. Help us to choose in our homes to serve you, we pray, just as Joshua did. And Father, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We're in the third week here. We learned this week that we can choose forgiveness, and it's something we do intentionally. Now, how many of you are reading the workbook ahead of time? Chapter number 3. Several, anyway. We can forgive to live, and we do it best when we intentionally make a choice to forgive. So today we have goals. First of all, we have to go through what the proper understanding of forgiveness. What is forgiveness, and what does it mean to you? What did it mean to the fellow who developed this class? And we also want to understand what forgiveness is not. There are lots of definitions of forgiveness, and we're going to look at a couple of those, and we're going to ask you about what some of your definitions are as well. And then finally, and after learning what forgiveness is and what it is not, we want to learn how we each one can choose, make the choice intentionally to forgive. Last week, I think it was, we talked about one definition. There's a fellow named Alexander Pope. He said, to err is human, to forgive is divine. So most of us think about forgiveness as being some kind of a very lofty ideal, something we would strive for, that maybe especially it's good for somebody else. But we want to strive ourselves for forgiveness. But it's not just a lofty ideal. It's something that's very practical and something that you can use every single day in your life. It's a way that we each one deal with life's disappointments. Okay, it's a specific way of addressing and dealing with life disappointments. And so we hope that you will come to think of this forgiveness as a way of life, not just a single event, but a process of the way that you live your life. Okay? Some of you are right now, within the context of this class, thinking about a particular event that happened to you maybe a few days, a few weeks, months, or maybe even years ago. But the most beneficial for you in the way your life runs and the way you occupy your station in life comes if you're able to forgive on a regular basis, okay? You just live your life that way. You're a forgiving person. Now, forgiveness is known to actually be a skill, okay? This is something that human beings are not, you don't come out of the fourth grade or you don't graduate from the first grade and have a degree in forgiveness. It's not something that comes easily to us, many of us. Virtually every single religion in the world teaches that we should forgive, okay? Almost without an exception, they teach that we should forgive, yet there is so little taught on how it actually happens. We know that there's a great number of benefits, as we are learning in this class, to forgiveness. Can you recall how you were first introduced to the concept of forgiveness as a child? Anybody want to share that? Okay, you forgive him. Okay. Yeah. Okay, somebody says you're sorry, and the other end of that says, you're forgiven. Okay, yes.
Stand in the corner until you tell them you're sorry.
Okay. Now, those actually are forms of repentance, okay? Part of that concept is forgiveness. And so that all feeds into this. You're right. Anybody else? Anybody remember anything from childhood about forgiveness? Well, if you ignore it, it'll go away. Forget it, okay? Forget about it. Yes, here's one right. Sorry, and then laugh a little bit, huh? Okay.
Tell you, but I'm not sorry, so I'm not going to forgive you.
Okay. So we learn early on some different aspects to forgiveness. One of the most common definitions, and I can remember hearing this one myself, is you've just got to learn to forgive and forget. Okay. Probably most of us have heard something of that nature. But unless we are in the process, or unless we've been diagnosed with dementia, this definition can't be true. Because we can't all forget everything. We all remember everything, okay? Or we try to. But the goal of forgiveness then is actually not to forget what has happened to you, but it is to remember the insult in a different way, okay? So this week we kind of get into a little bit more about how we actually treat the insult and the forgiveness part of it, okay? We've identified in the past that life isn't fair, that we all to one degree or another have had something happen to us in which we consider a grievance or a bad item. And so this week we're going to learn a little bit more about what we do with that. So as we get started, let's review a little bit about what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. We just mentioned that. I only forget what is not important, okay? And usually something that has happened that has our attention in regards to a grievance is considered something that's very important. And so we want to learn how to reframe that. Forgiveness is not excusing. If you forgive, I do not give you permission to do that thing to me again, okay? So it's not excusing. It's not denying. I am unwilling to face the pain of an injustice that has been done to me, okay? So I want to be able to be right up front about it and not to deny it. Forgiveness is not condoning, because there is no excuse for bad behavior. Okay, no matter where it comes from, there is no excuse for bad behavior. So we can't condone it. Forgiveness is not pardoning. We can't pardon because there are consequences to all of our actions. Forgiveness is not reconciling. What does reconciling take? Takes two people, that's right. And so forgiveness comes on behalf of the person who makes the decision or the choice to forgive. It may or may not include reconciling. We would hope that it would, but quite often it does not. Forgiveness, as defined by this author, and it's a good one, forgiveness is the process of reframing one's anger from the past with the goal of recovering one's peace in the present and revitalizing one's purpose for the future. So that really covers past, present, and future. The process of reframing my anger from the past with the goal of recovering my peace in the present and revitalizing my purpose for the future. So I hope that you can all, each one, take that definition to heart. Forgiveness changes only about 10% of the past, right? Doesn't change any of it. Forgiveness does not change what has happened to me in the past at all. Not 1% even. What happened to me in the past is still there. But forgiveness changes how I feel about what has happened to me in the past. So forgiveness is a choice. Now, the importance of choice cannot be understated in any situation, but in this it's very, very important. We've talked before how the choice for forgiveness in this setting is actually involves prolonging your life, okay? And there's examples in the book about people who learned to forgive, their blood pressure went down, and the author believes that their life was extended because of their ability to keep their blood pressure down. Forgiveness is a choice, and we choose to forgive even when we do not feel like forgiving. Does anybody find that hard? Do you find it hard to choose to forgive even when you don't feel like forgiving? What other kind of things do we choose to do that we don't feel like doing?
Getting up in the morning.
Getting up in the morning. To make the bed. Wash the dishes, somebody said. What other kind of things do you choose that are maybe a little detrimental, it seems like, and you do them anyway? Okay, staying within the speed limit. How about going to the dentist? Everybody loves to do that. Or the doctor, go to the doctor. We choose to forgive even when we do not feel like forgiving. As we just read a little bit ago, choosing not to forgive is to react to someone else's choice, okay? We're being handcuffed to someone. Somebody else is in control. And so instead of choosing forgiveness, we are choosing what? Resentment or vengeance? Okay. And the way the author of this course looks at it is, when I choose forgiveness, I am in control. When I choose resentment or revenge, I am out of control. I never thought of it that way before. But so you don't want to give up your choice to forgive and become a victim, okay? You want to stay in control of the situation and become the victor. The only human freedom that cannot be taken away from us is the freedom of choice, okay? So, and that's going to become even more important a little farther into this. We'll talk briefly about it. extremely important concept, the concept of choice. We've talked in our Sabbath school class about the power of choice and how we maybe in these days don't realize what an important thing choice is and the price that is paid for our choice. You know, in this country, we're 200 and some odd years into freedom. People died, and they continue to die so that we can have freedom. There's a good example from heaven where someone died so that what? We can have a choice, right? Of eternal life. So if you stop and think about that, choice then becomes the most precious commodity in the universe. It's even more precious than the price of the life of God's own Son. So that's a pretty heavy privilege and responsibility, isn't it? And it's a wonderful thing as we are given the choices that we each one have. Now, the power of your choice is best discovered in the moment. Think about this. The power of your choice is best discovered in the moment between the stimulus, what happened to you, and what your response is. Okay, that's what you call a defining moment. Okay, something occurs in that time frame. And the stimulus is what has just happened, and the response or the event is what is going to happen. And so now you're in this pause, shall we say, where you're reflecting and trying to decide how you're going to choose what you're going to do in response to that event. Now, forgiveness is more likely to occur when we employ two things, empathy and humility. Remember the definition of those two items? Forgiveness is more likely to occur when we employ empathy, as defined to detach from one's own concerns by taking the perspective of another. How does that saying go, walk a mile in my shoes? This turns anger into understanding. Okay? So empathy for another person's situation. Humility, to see one's own shortcomings. In other words, I look at my own shortcomings, thereby I become more understanding of someone else's shortcomings. Forgiveness requires that I must abandon my own pretense of superiority over someone else. And you've all said this before, what? Everyone makes mistakes. Which one of us doesn't? Raise your hand. Okay? And so that allows us to be more likely to forgive. Forgiveness is more likely to occur when we employ empathy and humility. Two important concepts on how we look at things. By the way, the workbook talks about three different kinds of forgiveness. And the type that this fellow is addressing chiefly is personal forgiveness. When something happens between you and another person, there's a disagreement. But there's other types of forgiveness that is involved. And it's in the workbook. Maybe you'll discuss that in your group today. But this book chiefly deals with what happens. We talked last week in our group about, you know, when somebody is murdered. One of the precepts from last week is that, you know, we try to reframe and look at and agree that everybody's not 100% bad and everybody's not 100% good. You remember doing that? Well, when somebody is killed, you know, there's no excuse for that. We still need to learn how to forgive it. But we don't want to take the blame and put the blame on the victim at all, do we there? Okay, that's a different sort of a thing. But we still need to forgive in those situations. So remember, when we have been wronged, we have two possible choices. Number one, we can choose the life we want. Or number two, we can choose the life that we really don't want. If we choose the life we want, then we will use forgiveness to help us get there. If we choose the life that we do not want, vengeance and victimization will help us get there. Okay? The choice that you make will determine the life that you lead and the life that you live. You can choose to forgive and move on with your life, or you may choose not to forgive, and then you keep living in the past. Okay? Important concepts. When you employ forgiveness in your life, then your life is no longer defined by your past. The biggest obstacle to forgiveness is to confuse an unforgivable offense with an unwillingness to forgive. And we've all been there. We dig our heels in a little bit, okay? And we're not going to forgive, maybe no matter what. So the biggest obstacle to forgiveness is to confuse an unforgivable offense with an unwillingness to forgive. But remember, we can all choose to forgive and get our life back, okay? Any questions about anything that we've talked about so far? Any statements about where we're going? Have you all chosen to forgive? There's kind of an interesting little, shall we say, self-assessment in the book. This is something that we'll go over again a little later, I think toward the end of this course. He calls it the forgiveness journey. Your answers to the following questions will give you a good picture of your current place on the journey toward forgiveness. And we want to emphasize here that this is really a process. Okay, this isn't something that on March 23 at 3 in the afternoon, you're going to suddenly become a forgiving person. Okay, it's a process that you work on, like some people here understand the work of sanctification. Okay, this is a process, and you keep working on it, and God keeps giving you the grace to do that. So it's a journey. By the way, I remembered this week as I was studying this, kind of an interesting quote. Maybe we talked about this. You'll forgive me, right, if I did already say this. I think it was Clara Barton who said this. Something had happened. Now, was it Clara Barton, like the head of the Red Cross? She started the Red Cross, and I think this was the one that said this. In regards to choice, okay, in regards to her choice, somebody reminded her of something that had been done to her by someone, and I forget what the offense was, but it reminded her about something at apparently an inopportune time, and I think it was Clara Barton that said, "I distinctly remember choosing to forget about that." That sort of goes along with what we're talking about today when we choose to forgive. Okay, we choose to remember the incident. We look at it a little differently, and we need to distinctly remember choosing how to do that. So these answers, follow questions, will give you a good picture of your current place on the journey toward forgiveness. Be sure to answer the questions as honestly as you can. So there's 10 questions here. I'll ask them. If you have a grievance, you should. The ideal is to answer yes on the majority of these questions. And so if you find yourself answering no on the majority, then we have some learning here and some growth that can take place over the next few weeks. If you answer yes on all of them, then you've arrived, I guess it is. Do you have a story about someone who has wronged you, someone with whom you have yet to forgive? Yes or no on all these. You can just answer to yourself here. Are you aware of the price that you are paying by not forgiving? It can be kind of an expensive tag, can't it? Have you made the choice to forgive that person? Are you able to sufficiently change your story, as he writes, reframe the story of hurt and suffering so it becomes less painful? Has your new story of the old event given you a better perspective on life? When a situation brings you back to feeling helpless, are you able to change that feeling? 7, are you making progress toward achieving the goals that you have set for yourself? Are you more understanding of the other person's circumstances, even though you disagree with what he or she did? Have you reconciled with this person involved? Finally, has forgiveness brought you peace with God or greater clarity about your higher purpose in life? And that it says here, you may not be able to answer yes to all 10 questions, and that should not concern you at this point, as you are on a journey of forgiveness one step at a time. So today we'll be looking over Jim and Jerry's story in our workbooks. Again, thank you for coming out. Hope you're learning something each week that you can take and employ in your life to make peace in your life and to have a promising future. That's our goal here. So you can divide up at this point. Hope to see you next week. We'll try to dismiss around 5:30. And if you get a chance for next week, it's chapter 4 in the workbook. Thank you very much.